The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 14 after 8. Just wanted to give you an update from Chaos Central. Breaking news from the New York Times. Trump team plans deep cuts at office that funds recovery from big disasters. Did you hear that? Big disasters! Of course, this is the New York Times, but I at least want you to be up on what the enemy camp is saying. Trump administration plans to all but eliminate the office that oversees America's recovery from the largest disasters, raising questions about how the United States will rebuild from hurricanes, wildfires, and other calamities made worse by climate change. Oh, you mean the same people that haven't gotten aid over to North Carolina, right? You know, all these kind of people, apparently. The Office of Community Planning and Development, part of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, pays to rebuild homes and other recovery efforts after the country's worst disasters, such as Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. You really want to bring that up? And Hurricane Milton in Florida. They plan to cut that staff by 84%. Now, I'm sure that DOGE is saying we're going to find some way to do it more efficiently and having perhaps more workers and fewer chiefs. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. But the New York Times says, as disasters have grown more frequent and severe, HUD's disaster recovery program has become central to the country's strategy for coping with climate change. Maybe that's why they're cutting it, because they're going to cut a lot of people that are pushing housing for fighting climate change rather than just getting aid to people who need aid. I could be wrong about this, but I just wanted to let you know what the New York Times had to say. The world is coming to an end. And yet another attack on our democracy. Let me go to Holly Morton. Holly Morton, of course, Josephine County Republican Party chair, but you were at the Grants Pass City Council meeting last night. And Holly, arguably, city of Grants Pass has been targeted for elimination, I think, from the political left, in my view, or at least wanting to keep people off base up there. What happened when it comes to seeking out new places to have the gentle homeless encampments? What do you say?
Well, what happened is, you know, we've got a temporary stay imposed by the judge, and which was kind of invited upon us by the former mayor, oddly enough, you know, who apparently participated in helping a group of people.
I thought that was an interesting story that the former mayor of Bristol ended up getting involved in this. All right.
Yeah, that speaks for itself right there. But, you know, that any former mayor would be involved in creating a lawsuit in some way. But anyway, that aside, city members got a chance to speak about what area they thought they wanted to end up in. And so they don't want the homeless encampments in the parks, and they don't want them in the, you know, right next to businesses and things. I mean, basically, nobody wants them in their neighborhood. But what they finally ended up with is right next to the police station on 7th Street, there's a location, and that's been pretty well managed. They don't have some of the crime problems and so forth, because, of course, it's right next to the police station.
Yeah, having it next door to the police station could be helpful for that. Yeah, I get that. You know, how sporty are you, if you're a homeless person who's, having some problems, how sporty are you going to get right next door to the police department? Right? Fair enough?
And then right across, basically, you know, 6 and 7 are parallel in Grants Pass. So on 6th Street, you know, pretty much in that, you know, same location, just a block to the west.
What about that Midland Avenue situation over that grass and paved surface over there? What's happening with that?
Well, they didn't vote for Midland, so they voted for the 8th Street property and then the 6th Street property and the 7th Street property. The Midland property, people were very concerned about that because it's so close to so many schools, and that had people worried you're going to have people doing drugs and drug paraphernalia around schools and children. So there was just a huge outcry.
All right. Now, you were saying that 8th Street, so is that the one on East Park Street near the fire station?
The one on Park Street, yeah, there are a couple of there, right? The one that's in Riverside Park, that was a big no because people don't want to be in the park. The one that's on Park Street is down by the fire station, and they were hoping to park vehicles there, I believe. And that one, people said absolutely no to that also. So the only ones that were agreed upon were the one on 6th and 7th, only two. Now, I don't know if that's going to be enough. You know, we certainly don't want to have an injunction imposed, which I think is, you know, which is why they were trying to get a few more spaces. But what was really puzzling to me is there's a fantastic property up on Vine Street, which is kind of just on the border of the city and the county. And that would be an excellent location. And they're talking about doing...
What's around that property, though? What's the neighborhood like?
Well, to the east of that property is just the freeway.
Oh.
So, and it's an 8-acre parcel, but it's from north to south, it's longer than it is from east to west, so to speak. So it's a big rectangular property with a bunch of outbuildings on it. And I walked that property not too long ago just to see what I thought it would be. And that's just a great location. But what they're looking to try to do there is get, say, U-Turn for Christ or one of those to run the program there, because what we need is basically a drug and alcohol program to get these people clean. Because probably between 75% and 90% of the people that are homeless in our town have drug and alcohol problems. And so, you know, that doesn't get better until until that disease of addiction is resolved. And so that would give them an opportunity to have a program there where the people could actually work.
Yeah. By the way, if you don't mind me asking, Holly, I know you're not an official per se, you know, you're not in the government though, you're with the party, but still you're kind of plugged into a little bit here. If you are actually drug addicted and just in great trouble, where do you go right now? Where do homeless people go for that? Is there anything available for them other than, you know, okay, if you go into a gospel rescue mission, they'll help, but you have to give up your smokes and your dog and everything else? I mean, what do you have to do? What can you do there?
There are small programs, but what we need is something that's big. I mean, you're talking about a couple hundred people in this town who are homeless. I'm not sure what the exact number is. At the moment, they're kind of spread out. And after they closed J Street, I don't know how many of them just completely left town or they've gone up into the hills. But we've got to get them out of the hills because we don't want them, you know, starting fires and stuff up there. And there really is very little opportunity to, you know, a program where you're living in. Because it makes no sense to go in and have a little bit of counseling and then you go back out in the streets.
I mean, yeah, and you're hanging out with your fellow fentanyl addicts near the park, right? No. It's just not going
to
work.
And a drug program has to be tiered. You have to start out, you know, in a detox program where you get off drugs, and that requires a little bit of medical intervention because drug use is a very compelling problem. You've got to get them off the drugs first of all, and then you have to start the counseling process with them, creating an intellectual structure that allows them to understand why they use drugs and get them to stop using drugs. And it's generally tiered where you start out with no privileges and over time it kind of parallels how life is.
Hey, Holly, disability rights and a few homeless people were the people that ended up suing the city again recently to do this. Are they trying to make the case that their drug and alcohol addiction is a disability? Or are they concerned about people who are just older and maybe just disabled in other ways, not just with drug and alcohol? Just curious.
There are people who are disabled, but and the courts are saying that, you know, it's not fair for these people to have to move all their stuff all the time. It's just a hardship for disabled persons. And those are the kind of people that in a community you really want to help. You want to help the people that are disabled and they're just, you know, I mean, having a very hard time and a very hard life. And so that's why we're trying to find something that helps them. But certainly, you know, the people that are drug addicted, that's a whole different thing. And what they kept wanting to do was shove them all into one box, mothers with children, senior citizens, and drug addicts. You know, that's just a recipe for disaster. So this other property up on Vine Street is 8 acres, which would allow them to, and with a bunch of buildings, one of them's a little house, a home, And so you could say put disabled persons in there or elderly people. So you would have a place to separate mothers with children and so forth from these drug addicted people who really, you know, I mean, I think they probably would have to have a program where you can't even get there.
Well, so you know, I would dare say that the vast majority of the disorderly, the theft and or the violence issue, you're dealing with the addicts, really. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Most of that. I don't think that most of the people getting beaten up or shoplifting things are the mothers or elderly people that just find themselves in a really bad situation right now. I don't think that's it.
They can't all together in one facility. You know, they were attempting to do that down in that Parker Street property downtown. Mm-hmm. They had buildings and, you know, that was very upsetting to a lot of people because the people who really need the most protection and help, the mothers with children, elderly people, and so forth, they need to be sequestered from these other, you know, drug addicts and so forth for their own protection.
Well, it's like putting young kids in jails with hardened criminals, right? We don't do that either, right? You have a separate juvenile section for that reason, and for good reason. Yeah, we get it.
About that last night, and that worried me that I didn't hear any, you know, much coming up about this property, and I thought, boy, that would be a great solution. And then you have what the city would do is they would own that property, and then they would have the various organizations come in, each one running their own program within that property, maybe leasing a part of the land or whatever it is, mm-hmm. running a program to solve the individual problems that we have, which are many, but diverse. It's not like there's one homelessness problem.
Yeah, we're not taking every homeless person and dumping it in the same box like you mentioned earlier. That makes sense. Boy, it has certainly been a real... Is it kind of a knockdown, drag-out fight over the homeless in Joe County, Grants Pass right now?
Well, would you call it that? There are diverse opinions about how to solve the problem. And you know, but the biggest problem of all, of course, is that we are a poor county, Josephine County. So if you could just throw endless amounts of money at it, that would be one thing. But that's not the position this county is in. So we're watching the budget of that, and we also, because we're a poor county, we can't impose too much on the citizens, you know, of the county or the city. You know, we need to be also careful. We can't just keep raising taxes and taxes and taxes for them to cover the expenses of the increasing homelessness population and not get to the root of the problem, which is really these people are drug addicted. We've got to attack that problem at its base, because if you're just solving the symptoms all the time, you know, it's just going to continue on and on and on. You know, you're going to get these various places and people from out of town say, well, they've got a homeless place. Let's go over there. You get pizza, you get food, you get needles, mm-hmm. you get this, you get that. Sounds good to me. And they go over there. And drug addiction is a very expensive problem. And so then you have the associated crime and all that, and the neighborhoods go crazy.
And not to even mention mental illness, which is a big part of many homeless experiences, too.
Well, and which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, you take drugs for a short period of time, you are going to have a self-imposed mental illness.
Yeah, it could be. All right. Hey, Holly, thanks for the update. And I was kind of curious how that was going. So no knockdown, drag-out fights. People are still talking and trying to work this out, seriously?
Trying to work it through. And it's just a huge challenge. But I do think that once they... If they can get this Vine Street property, I do think that they have a model that I think will really work. In fact, it'll be a model that you can show throughout the state and maybe throughout the country, because the program that I heard them discussing is a fantastic program for resolving the issue, which goes right to the core of the issue and not just, the symptoms.
Thank you, Holly. Appreciate the update. Really do. Okay. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Josephine County Party Republican Party Chair, rather, I should say, in Josephine County, Holly Morton. 828 KMED 99.3 KPXG. Always appreciate the update from everybody, whatever they're up to. I guess the Jackson County, we have enough money, we could just throw money at it, right? Is that how it works? Oh, if we could all just be Jackson County. And then, of course, Jackson County says, well, yeah, look at Multnomah. We could be Multnomah County. Then we could really take care of it.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel
25 is proudly presented by Dusty's Transmissions and by Coastal Media. The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Dave, you were listening to the conversation of what Grants Pass is putting up with, and I sense a little frustration. Would that be fair?
Well, look, you're right, Bill. And I don't want to seem discompassionate. I don't think I am. But I'm listening to this. There were a couple things that really stood out to me. You know, so they're looking for a location for a homeless camp or an encampment.
Yes. Yeah, they want to move it out of the ones that they had before, had some problems. They want to keep people out of the parks, et cetera, that kind of thing.
I want to have a conversation about this, Bill. I want to know what you think. But so we can't have it here because it's too close to schools and children. And yet if we move it over here away, physically away from schools and such, somehow it won't have an effect on our children or our community. I think that's fascinating to me. And I'm looking at this whole thing, listening to her, and look, I don't want to. It is a big, you know, drug use and addiction. It's brutal and it's hard. I get that. But in Grants Pass now, they have so much time and effort over there going in to finding a place where we can set people up to live in tents, okay, and to basically to camp, and somehow this, you know, is I don't understand that. How is that really helping people? And at the end she says we're a poor county and we can't keep that was the thing I agreed with, is you can't keep taxing people for this problem. And so I know what you might say to me is, well, what do you think the solution is? And this might seem simple and it might even be wrong. I don't know. But the solution for me in this case is, you know, the government's been chasing their tail on that. Hello, everything went to the Supreme Court. The solution to me is you need to find a private sector solution. You need to find the gospel mission was mentioned, all kinds. You need to get it out.
Well, and the reason why the gospel rescue mission being private has not been selected as the solution of choice here, Dave, is because it actually puts rules on people. And that is the whole issue here. We have rules cannot be followed, and hence, you know, everybody has to give up their taxes and or their private property for people who are either addicted or mentally ill or whatever the case might be. It's really about fighting the court restrictions. That's what's going on. This is a court created thing, which is why, I don't know, I think that the former mayor of Grants Pass should be ashamed of herself for actually having helped the situation, you know, have helped another lawsuit against a small, relatively modestly funded city in Southern Oregon. And you can't tell me that there isn't a political enemies list involved with this kind of stuff.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. And the other thing I would say is, you know, it's like she said, well, the court said it's not fair to make these people, you know, move all the time. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why is having a bunch of people living on the street, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, it's not fair to make that. What about the citizens of Grants Pass? What about the children? What about, is it fair to them to have what's...
Well, apparently it is unfair to require people to work and be productive and not become stoners in order to tell you it's unfair that we have those kind of requirements. Now, people who are mentally ill and raving right off the bat, I get it. There's a need for that. Frankly, the institutions need to be reinstituted. Okay. You know,
I was beating around the bush, Bill. You said really what I wanted to say there. And I know that comes off as very harsh and not compassionate. But the bottom line is I'm looking at this thing and I can't say what I want to say.
Yeah, but I can kind of read between your lines. All right.
Gigantic dog chasing its tail. I wanted to mention something with the word circle, but I better not do that.
Okay. Well, is that like the
have all the solutions?
Okay. Got it. So in other words, we're all sort of masturbating in a circle. I think that's where you were going. Okay, let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Hey, Bill. Michael Shaw, if you're available.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, white noise wasn't there, but what the heck. It's Thursday. I have figured out, finally, the Medford Greater Community Conspiracy that involves the justification for all the new hotels being built here. So they put in the sports park. They've now spent $70 or $90 million on a swimming pool facility.
Yep.
And it all ties in together because they now have those things under their belt to justify the $180 million expansion of the airport.
Hmm. Okay, now that's a county county project, not a city project, but you think that's what that's all about then?
Well, I said it's a greater Medford community.
Oh, okay. So, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, whether it's a city government, county government, or whatever it is. So all three of them have to tie in together somewhere, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, because, you know, we really needed neighborhood pools. We didn't need an aquatic warehouse at $80 million. Okay, we didn't need that. But pools in the neighborhood are expenses. While on the other hand, if you create tourist attractions, then we build more hotels. Hence, you need more. And then you need more planes coming in and out of here. And yet, at the same time, we're told that we have to have climate-friendly, equitable communities, and we're not supposed to grow. So, Michael, what are we going to do here?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure you saw the article about the aquatic facilities results.
Oh, yes, I did. And nothing makes me feel better about paying an overly inflated cost each year on my public utility fee than knowing that we have 920, you know, birthday parties that were done over at Rogue X. I know that we needed an $80 million facility for such things. We really did.
Right, absolutely. But it's funny, if you look at the numbers that they spout about the economic impact that it has benefited from having that facility, but they don't talk about the profitability of the facility. They know where they talk about whether it made money or not.
Only way they can talk about Rogue X having made money is if they include the taxpayer forced contribution to it, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, any business has to run a profit and loss statement. Why are they not talking about that aspect of the facility?
Most likely because it is a socialized facility. What do you think?
Well, yes on that, and probably because it didn't make any money to pay for itself.
Of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to actually steal $70 to $80 million from the taxpayers of Southern Oregon in the fees over the years. Okay. So you have discovered the well, you see, I like the way you would actually do if you were talking about Rogue X like a business, then you would have to be talking about profit and loss. But it's a government project, so you don't have to worry about the profit or the loss. It's just a matter of like, hey, look how much money we made. Look how much money came in on our $80 million lemonade stand. But $20 million of economic activity generated. I would love to see the math on that. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hi, this is Megan at Mini Pet Mart.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
We'll get back to your calls in just a moment here as we wrap up Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Diana Anderson is in studio with me again because she's putting on another event tomorrow, Friday evening. Where is that going to be?
Central Point Library.
Central Point Library. What time? What time again?
At 6 o'clock.
You have been, of course, by the way, I wanted to hold up a copy of your book here.
Thank you.
Just because this is, and you're not just dealing with the contents of this book, but it has to do with essentially technocracy, the world planners, the planners of destroying property rights in here and shoveling you into the climate-friendly, equitable community or your brand new Soviet system, if you allow them to, all right? But you wrote a great book about this and so much more. Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers? And looking at the results of the educational report cards here for the state of Oregon schools, they're meeting their mission goals, I think.
Yes. Well, they accomplished their goal. They're failing students. They can so they can prepare them for activist training and green jobs and that kind of thing right now.
Yeah, all right. So what are you going to be kicking around in tomorrow night's presentation?
Tomorrow night is more like two-part. I'm hoping to get through most of each one of the parts. One of them is how to live in a technocracy or a zero net zero growth neighborhood. And what I want to do is actually take advantage of what the Vision 2040 Task Force is doing. They're saying that they can kind of look at other communities to see if their benchmarks or how they should mm-hmm. go, you know.
And by the way, Vision 24, that is the City of Medford Committee.
It's
right?
City of Medford is the sponsor for it.
Yes.
They're the ones that put it together. But Medford is just the hub for the whole Southern Oregon region. Mm-hmm. So Rogue Valley Council of Governments came in and signed an agreement with every community to bring about climate-friendly areas. Now, the Vision 2040 plan that you can download on the web, they list about 80 to 85 different actions and strategies that touch upon every person's, all community living. Every aspect mm-hmm. of living in a community is listed there, from faith-based organizations to preschool children. From the elderly to the youngest, the oldest. It's for everybody.
We're talking like planning to the extreme almost.
Oh, yes. Right? Yeah. It's not just about affordable housing or planting bicycle paths on the streets and stuff.
Well, you know, the original technocracy, and I've read a lot on technocracy, mm-hmm. and I know you have too, was all about essentially an energy-based economy in
yes.
which everything, this was done back in the 1930s. The whole idea of technocracy was that, everything had a cost and it was about energy and it was going to be completely data-based and
right.
strictly controlled. And you can see technocracy kind of coming in from the back door. And I hate to even say this because I know that I will make some people upset by opining this, but can you not help but notice the entire technological bro community in the Trump administration right now? Can you help? Can you not help but notice that?
Mr. Altman is there, the younger man that was in the Trump office. They were talking about the new Stargate program.
Yeah.
$500 billion. And all that generated AI technology.
And we're going to sell you generated AI technology under the guise of curing your cancer.
Right.
Right. You know,
right.
all that kind of thing. But,
yeah.
So I know this is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and I know that I've been really happy to see Doge come up with some of these
great.
Proposed cuts
yeah.
and all this. But I also can't help but notice that the greater, or if you want to call it lesser agenda, still appears to be a loosely connected plan in
yeah.
place. And
well,
am I wrong about that?
No. What I see it as a cold war between two opposing future agendas. We have the golden age that Trump talks about.
Which is kind of like technocracy for good, maybe?
Yes, for the good.
And then you have the World Economics Forum
right.
of technocracy.
That's
which
on
is,
the other side. That's
you
machine
will,
age
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, you will eat the bugs and be happy.
Yeah.
All right, that
In
kind
fact,
of thing.
The Fourth Industrial Revolution by Klaus Schwab, they call it the intelligence era, as opposed to any other era we've had in the past.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they just don't call it artificial intelligence era, because that's exactly what it is. But to understand what technocracy is, it's a state of being that wants a more perfect union. It wants to bypass any legislative houses. In other words, electors don't matter mm-hmm. because they want to make all the decisions based on scientific fact.
It is in fact a secular religion.
Yes,
scientism.
It is. It's also an administrative kind of function. So it's the administrative state. If you've ever heard some of that speaking on TV or on the radio. Trump is fighting a lot of that administrative state.
But yet also seems to be...
We call it the deep state.
But also seems to be enlisting some of that,
yes,
too, at
yes.
the same time. So you have to keep an eye on where this goes.
That's why I'm encouraging people to don't sit on Trump's lawyer laurels, and say, oh, well, everything's going to be solved now. He's going to get rid of all the corruption And we'll be able to drive our own cars, whether they're gas or electric, it won't matter.
Uh-huh.
But we're living in a Marxist state right now. I mean, they imported Marxism right here in Southern Oregon in the 90s. They brought some Soviet people over here. So, but I want to read a definition of technocracy and compare it to a policy in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
Okay. Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population.
Oh, technological Marxism.
Right.
Gotcha.
So Eugene, quote, is advancing policies to focus future growth, particularly higher density housing, in and near mixed-use centers and along key corridors to increase access to essential goods and services for all residents. So the same thing. It's a system, an administrative system by a city or a metropolitan planning organization in order to make sure that you have a safe and comfortable and you have access within a walkable amount of time to get all the goods and services you need.
It's that you have a safe, secure tyranny.
Right, right.
A safe, secure, and pleasant prison to live in.
Right, right.
I mean, am I being a little bit it's hyperbolic when I say this?
There's three or four authors, including the lady who is a member of the European Parliament, who called it open prisons, what they're doing over there, because London is completely designed now through with neighborhood unit planning,
yeah.
Or they call it 15-minute cities. And Oxford has had thousands of people on the street objecting to it.
And then you also connect it with arguably, even if Jeff Golden and Pam Marsh think that a fire map deal is about wildfire, if it gets to the point where you are forcing people off the land because they cannot afford
right.
the hardening or the insurance and all the rest.
Yeah.
Okay, you could see this kind of being the self-fulfilling problem. Oh, well, we have these wonderful neighborhood units for you to occupy over time.
Well, you know, I found a picture describing smart growth in different respects. And one of them was just kind of like a bird's eye view of a town. And you have the small town in the middle, and then you have some outline residential areas on the outside. And then you go even further, and you've got this wildland-urban interface going around the city. And that's uh-huh. what they call it, the Forest Service does.
Wooey.
Yeah, WUI or whatever, they measure mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
So then the next picture, after smart growth takes place and they get you off your property, it's all condensed. You don't see hardly any buildings in the WUI area at all. And so I thought, I'm not any at all. I mean, the county, people that work for the county here are trying to fight this fire maps. They're the experts on the ground. And I thought, where is this actually coming? I want to boil it down to the very source thing. So I went to the task force, if you want to call it a task force, that met in October before they released all this in November.
Mm-hmm.
And what they wanted to do was to go ahead and inject a climate smart amendment onto the Northwest Forest Plan. And they did it quietly. So if you want to directly connect what a climate smart amendment or a plan is, an example is Tom Vilsack went to Dubai at the last COP28 meeting. That COP stands for Council of Parties, I think. And they led the whole show there in regards to climate smart implementation in the world. So it's a UN thing. So we're actually sending some Tom Vilsack. I think he used to be governor of Iowa. He's Democrat. But all this. All our electors right now that know about smart growth, and of course the Department of Land Conservation and Development Commission here in Oregon lists links for you to learn more about smart growth, but they don't tell you, and the EPA doesn't even tell you unless you go into their archive. that smart growth grew out of the Agenda 21 Earth Summit in 1992. And if you look at the leadership.
That was the first Bush presidency.
Right, the first Bush.
Yeah, and so it's not just a pure Democrat versus Republican agenda at all. This has been, there's been a lot of bipartisan. All right. I don't have a lot of more time to go into it, but this is the kind of conversations going on tomorrow night. Though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so this is going to be 6 o'clock at the Central Point Library. By the way, this is going to be on Zoom too.
It'll be on Zoom also.
Do you have a meeting that I can put this out on or put the link out for?
I can email it to you today.
Okay. I'll put it up on my show blog, and I will make sure to mention that tomorrow because I know you're waiting, doing this tomorrow night. But you can show up in person and have good conversation, and it's and that's like I said, I think you're right, though. The takeaway from this all is that we have basically two sides of globalism that are at war with one another.
I think there's a third side, too, and I think they're the disappointed side. They're the ones that, because the machine age people up there, Klaus Schwab and the technology, they creating an elite system.
Yeah.
And they don't care if there's equality, actually.
Yeah.
They don't. But then you have these communitarianisms or even communists, socialists, hardline socialists in the United States
who are counting on Bernie Sanders types. Yes.
Yes. And they're looking at that. They're very disappointed about Trump. They're the ones that are calling out this whole thing.
Right.
But they're not going to call out on Klaus Schwab.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to
So three groups. This is the battle for the future of freedom, I guess. Is really what we're talking about, or the managed freedom. And I'm sorry to end it on a sarcastic note, but that's kind of what it is. So tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, you'll get me the Zoom link too, all right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Diana Anderson, Sam Diana Anderson. It is 8:55 at KMED. Yikes indeed. And yep, our local organizations, everybody's all just kind of sleepwalking into it, I guess.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Rentier Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer.
What did he do with the fact that you were putting your hands into really cold, wet, slushy stuff and there's a reaction that way? Was it a rash or was it actually pustules reaction?
There were pustules and they had to pop them and everything. So it was really gross. I can't believe that.
I can't believe that either. But you know, that is a great conspiracy theory. Thursday, so something in this, it's not just the sky and it's not just the aluminum setting the trees on fire in widespread multi-million acre conflagrations. It's in the snow too. All right.
Yep.
Well, now I'm kind of curious here, now that they've been playing around in those chemicals, are they responding to 5G? Are they getting a reaction from 5G being around the tower with the heavy metals in their system now?
No, I don't think so. They're just, but magnets stick to them. No.
It could be. Magnets stick to the skin. All right. I love it. Thanks so much for the call there, Sherry. I really do. I really do love it. Okay, 770-5633. I wanted to check in with Joel. Joel's out in the Iron Gate. Joel, you have not left your home in how many weeks now because of the weather? What's going on?
Two and a half weeks, except for when I walked over to the neighbors about a mile and a quarter away through the snow, and now it's turned to mud. And luckily, one of the neighbors got a all-wheel drive quad, and they brought me in some propane and food. But I'm waiting for the wind and the sun or Mr. Freeze turn the ground frozen so I can go get more supplies. And my truck is about a half a mile away stuck in mud.
Good luck on that. I know that there's been a lot of challenges with weather and road access up in your neighborhood. God bless you and for the people who are helping you out, Joel. Okay. Thanks for the update. I really do appreciate that. I got about a minute and a half, 90 seconds, so I wanted to make sure and squeeze in an email or two of the day, and that's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com is on Freeman Way, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com, great people there. And while you wait, crowns, quite available on this one, okay? Have an in-house lab now. Butch writes me, "Hey, Bill, whatever happened to any investigation of the death of the SCOTUS member that died suddenly on a hunting fishing holiday and was cremated in record time?" Oh, Antonin Scalia. Okay, I'll just repeat after me, Butch. even with the pillow on his chest, right, nothing to see, move along, okay? Nothing to see, move along. I think my pillow guy now has a model of that pillow out, which is used for assassinations. Just kidding, okay? He also asks, what about the shooter at the Las Vegas concert? Nothing to see, move along. Remember, it was bump stocks. Bump stocks did it, Butch. Although anybody who has ever fired a bump stock, and I had one until I destroyed it after the last administration forced us to do it, everybody knows that the sound of what happened at that, anybody who actually fired machine guns versus bump stocks know that those were no bump stock weapons that we were listening to. Oh, the assassin that tried to kill President Trump, nothing to see, move along here. The system is fully in control and taking care of it. You're asking very uncomfortable questions, and I think we have a climate-friendly, equitable community for you. Thank you, Butch. Email Bill at Bill Myers Show.